Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, or good morning, sorry. Welcome to Focus on Albany. My guest today is Cynthia Carell, and Cynthia is a lawyer in Nassau County, and she's here to share her thoughts about the Prococo verdict. So, Cynthia, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Were you surprised at the verdict? What was your thoughts on the verdict?
I would have been not surprised if Prococo had been convicted of all charges. I am slightly surprised that he was not convicted of at least one count of bribery. And the reason for that is his co-defendant, Steve Aiello, who was the executive of Core Development in Syracuse, was himself convicted of one count of paying bribes. Well, he paid his bribe to Prococo. So I'm surprised that Prococo was not convicted of one count of receiving the bribe from Aiello. So I'm a little surprised by that.
So Prococo will never see public service again. Would that be your thought?
I don't know that that's true. And the reason I don't know that that's true is Mayor Marion Bradley was convicted of cocaine possession, went to prison,
right,
came back to be reelected mayor. So
this is true. Right.
The thing for Prococo and is that he's looking at a lot of time in jail. Not jail. Excuse me, federal prison. And federal prison, unlike New York State prison, you don't necessarily go to prison in New York. You'd be in prison anywhere in the 50 states. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and his kids are small. So the pressure on Prococo right now to flip and give up somebody else is tremendous. The only help for him at sentencing is if he starts cooperating with the government.
And let's say he does cooperate with the government. What do you see happening then? Or do you want to venture a guess?
If he offers the government sufficiently useful cooperation, the government they usually don't put in a sentencing recommendation. When I was at the U.S. Attorney's Office, it wasn't that we would say, yes, we'll agree to, 2 months instead of 2 years, the way they do in the state system. But what happens is the probation department prepares what's called a pre-sentencing memo for the judge. And the pre-sentencing memo, they come and they interview the government, and you make your argument about why the guy should get 1 million years. And then the defense is allowed to see that draft, and then the defense prepares their counter memo that says, no, he's a saint and he should only get, a rap on the knuckles. I was doing federal prosecutions. I used to actually write my own draft and just give it to probation, and they would pretty much just copy and paste it into their document. But when the defendant, either pre-trial or post-trial, offers significant cooperation, in the federal sentencing system, there's something called a sentencing guidelines calculation. You take all these factors into account and you add them, and you come up with a number, and then you look that number up on a chart, and that chart gives you a range of months for how long the person should be in jail. So if your calculation comes out to 1, for example, that's 0 to 6 months. So if you plead guilty, you get a, what's called a 5-point reduction off your guidelines total right off the bat. Or alternatively, if he cooperates now, the government can agree to stay silent at sentencing. So the defense comes in and makes this plea for why the guy should not get a significant sentence, and the government agrees not to oppose it, which the judge usually takes as a signal to do pretty much what the defense wants.
Okay. Very important. Well, one of the things that have been talked about forming state government for the past couple of years that has been talked about is closing the LLC and the LL loophole. And the LLC loophole was used quite extensively over the past few months or years with Cuomo. So do you think that's going to help expedite the closing of the LLC loophole?
I think the only thing that is going to get the LLC loophole closed is returning the New York State Senate back to real Democrats and getting rid of the IDC.
Wow.
The problem right now is the IDC will not vote for it, and the Democrats don't have enough votes to pass it in that chamber by themselves.
Oh, okay. And an important question in light of the verdict the other day, has this hurt Cuomo?
I think it's hurt him a lot. In my Twitter feed, a reporter from the Wall Street Journal named Erica Orden tweeted that she opened up a transcript at random, just picked any old day, and counted the number of times that Cuomo's name appeared. And in that unscientific selection, his name appeared 74 times in a single day of testimony.
Wow.
So when he says, and he did, he tweeted this, that he was not mentioned in the case. It's patently untrue. And he was mentioned a lot. It's not merely like, well, he's off, he was mentioned twice over, you know, 2 weeks. No, he is mentioned a lot. Because don't forget, Prococo's whole thing that he had to sell, is the reason why people wanted to bribe him, was for access to Cuomo. And because he could use Cuomo's name and clout to get things done.
And they've been political partners for many years, right?
Since college.
Okay. So, what do you see?
Remember, Prococo had no power of his own. The power he wielded was Cuomo's.
Right. So, the trial.
Mm-hmm.
How badly do you think it will impact Cuomo's chances for re-election?
I think it has already negatively impacted it. I just saw a letter sent by the Progressive Caucus of the New York State Committee to Jeff Berman, who is the executive director of the New York State Democratic Committee, complaining that he just bought a $100,000 ad buy in New York City. And it's basically a reelection campaign ad for Andy Cuomo, who has not yet been endorsed by the party. He is not yet the party's candidate. So Berman is doing for Andy Cuomo what Debbie Wasserman Schultz was doing for Hillary.
Okay.
So they just wrote a letter complaining about it.
Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a number of
an
other
ad
trials.
Andy wouldn't need 5 minutes after his verdict if it weren't for the fact that he's trying to distract from the verdict.
Right. There's going to be a number of trials coming up over the next few months. And do you think that the Skelos and Silva retrial are going to influence the re-election of Andrew Cuomo?
Only in the sense that it reinforces in people's minds that Albany is a cesspool. I do expect both of them to be reconvicted, because in both cases, when the Second Circuit overturned their decisions, it was on the basis that there was a technical defect in the jury instruction, and in both instances, the Court of Appeals said, but there's ample evidence for retrial. So the problem wasn't that there wasn't enough evidence to convict them. The problem was a technical problem. So it's a shame that they have to be retried, because those were long and expensive trials. But I fully expect them to be convicted. There's also a trial coming up in June of Alan, and I have a hard time pronouncing this last name, Caloyeros, from SUNY Polytechnic, who was accused of bid rigging in Andy Cuomo's signature initiative, which was called the Buffalo Billions. This was Andy's baby. And it turned out that there's corruption there, too. And that's the one where they built a factory for a company that now isn't going to use the factory. So they the Buffalo Billions has been botched every way possible. It's not merely the bid rigging. I think all of that will be front and center on people's minds over the summer. And then in the fall, they cast their ballots.
So as a lawyer, the past couple of days, the news from the past couple of days, what does that mean to you? What's your statement on what transpired over the past couple of days?
What do you mean what transpired? Prococo was charged with two counts of conspiracy. Commit honest services, wire fraud, two counts of extortion, one count of bribery. He was convicted of both conspiracy counts and acquitted of the other three charges. As I said previously, Steve Aiello, who was a developer, president of Core Development in Syracuse, was convicted of one count of paying bribes to Prococo. Joe Girardi was acquitted of all the counts against him. So I found that a little interesting. I kind of understand the Girardi acquittal, because if you're following Howe's testimony, it wasn't really clear that Girardi knew what he was writing checks for. They may have felt that he was just relying on this lobbyist telling him what to do and didn't realize what the details were, but I don't know that for a fact. Bad news for Prococo. His children are young.
Right.
His wife, now having lost her low-show job, is unemployed. Who's going to support his family?
Right.
Where will he be sent to prison? If he's sent to prison in, for example, Kansas, he won't get to see his children very often. Also, having your children come and visit you in a prison, never a good thing for their mental health. So, as I said at the top of the show, Prococo's under incredible pressure to flip right now.
You mean to give states evidence?
Yes.
Now, we're almost at the point where the state budget is going to be finalized. How do you think this hurts state government as a whole? What does this do to the legislature?
What does this mean, the Prococo conviction? I don't know that it means anything to the state legislature, other than it was obviously been a big distraction to everybody. I think that Cuomo got whatever he was going to get in the budget, and that deal was done a while ago, but things will get undone. I don't know. I don't know how much this has hurt Cuomo with the legislature so much as it has hurt Cuomo with the voters. Two different things.
Do you think people are really paying attention?
Well, Because every day there's like five news bombs that come out of the White House. I don't think they're paying the kind of attention they would have paid at any other period of time. But this is essentially analogous to Chris Christie and Bridgegate, the Bridgegate trial. So,
okay.
And that's Chris Christie's career. So will this destroy Cuomo's career? I don't know. A lot of it will depend on whether or not a strong primary challenger emerges early enough to capitalize on this.
I think it's too late already for a primary challenge. We're almost into April.
I know. I think it's very late.
Before you know it, the petition process will start.
Yep.
I don't see a really strong, viable candidate coming out of the gate at any time.
Petitioning for state office is in the end of June, beginning of July.
Right.
There is a little time. But you still need a person out there securing, endorsements, raising money, hiring firms to do, demographic research and things like that, message testing, all of that. And several candidates who were hiring people, were doing things, have suddenly backed off. I think a lot of people were very interested in whether Cynthia Nixon was going to throw a hat in. Right now, the only person who's a declared candidate is Daenerys. And I don't know that he's raising the kind of money he needs to raise. I just don't know.
For governor?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Wow.
A long time ago,
well,
thought it was Christmas. Before
he would give up his...
Before
he would give up his
listening tour.
He would give up his Senate seat.
I don't know if he's up for re-election this year. Because if he's not up for re-election, then he's not risking anything.
He's up for re-election. The state senate.
No, we don't know if he is or not. I don't know if he is.
Every 2 years.
But if he's not.
Oh yeah.
Up,
yep. So as the saga unfolds and more trials come up and candidates come out of the woodwork, Cynthia, would you be interested in coming back on Focus on Albany to share your thoughts on what's going on?
Sure, of course I would. Always happy to do so.
And thank you. And in the final moments, what would you say to the public who might be even more turned off than they were a couple of days ago?
I think things in Albany have to change. I think we need more transparency in how campaign money is raised and more transparency in how it is spent, which is what today's letter to the state chair was about. And I think part of it is, and this has to be solved at the federal level, part of it is Citizens United and the ridiculous amounts of money that are in politics right now that are unregulated. And until that changes, it's going to be tough. But the flip side of that is the state party is committed to running a primary challenger against every member of the Independent Democratic Caucus. And I think that's significant. I think there's a lot of grassroots energy right now that I haven't seen ever before. And I hope that translates.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. So as the saga unfolds, I'd love you to come back on for you to share your thoughts on what's going on up here in Albany. So you have been listening to Cynthia Correll. She's an attorney in Nassau County. So I'm Cynthia Pooler, and if you like this show, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about the show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Cynthia, thank you for coming on the show, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for having me.